If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me today to Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 5. One of the things that I try to do every day is take a walk. That started for me during COVID so I could get out of the house and get a little exercise. When I first started, my doctor told me, you're going to need more exercise than that. You need to run. Well, now a few years later, doctors are actually saying that 45 minutes of brisk walking may be better for your health in the long run than 45 minutes of running. I'm going to believe that's true because I hate running. So every day I leash up the dogs and I walk for 2 or 3 miles. And I'll be honest, sometimes I just pop on some sports radio and veg out. Other times I'll put on a sermon or a podcast. But my favorite walks are those walks where I'm not listening to anything. I'm just talking with the Lord. And usually I'll walk around in creation and thank God for his goodness to me. And I'll talk to him about my burdens and problems. I'll pray for my family and I'll pray for many of you. And by the time those walks with the Lord are finished, I am physically and mentally and spiritually refreshed. All throughout the Bible, the Christian life is compared to taking a walk. Micah 6:8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Paul told the church at Galatia, this I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Romans chapter 6, he told the church at Rome that our walk for Christ is a new walk. He said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Did you know that the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you start a brand new journey with your life? You have a new direction. You have a new destination. And the best thing about this new journey that we begin is that now we have a new companion walking with us through life. You see, folks, we're not just walking for the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. And he wants to go with us as we make the journey from where we are today to where he is. Now, today we're going to meet a man who really walked with God. In fact, he walked straighter and longer and farther than anyone else in human history. His name is Enoch. Enoch is one of the most mysterious characters in all of the Bible. His story is told in 3 places. In Genesis chapter 5, in the book of Jude, and then right here in Hebrews chapter 11. Today we're going to learn that faith motivated Enoch to walk with God. It's always mystified me that some Christians get saved and they walk with God for a little while and then they walk away from God. And that probably describes some people who are in the room even this morning. Then there are some people who do a little bit better and they walk for God. They serve the Lord and they give to the church and they do some of the things that you're supposed to do in the Christian life, but they don't really have a daily relationship with the Lord himself. Rare is the Christian who really, day by day, moment by moment, walks with God. And if you want to know how to do that, we're going to learn from the fascinating life of Enoch. Let's start today in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. Because for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're talking today about the faith to walk with God. The scriptures tell us 3 things about Enoch's walk of faith. First, he walked with God. Secondly, he witnessed for God. And third, he went to be with God. So he walked with God, he witnessed for God, and he went to be with God. And if you want a good recipe for life, you can find it in Enoch. Well, let's start here. Enoch walked with God. Did you turn to Genesis? Let's go back there and read his biography as it was originally given to us in the first book of the Bible. Here's what it says in Genesis 5:21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It says twice that the most outstanding characteristic of Enoch's life was that he walked with God. Now, Pastor, what does it really mean to walk with God? Well, it means about the same thing as walking with someone else. First, it means that you agree about the place you're walking. You agree about the destination. Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't take a walk with someone unless you have agreed beforehand about where we're going to go. And Enoch had agreed with God about where he wanted his life to end up at the end of the day. He had the same goals for his life that God had for his life. So to walk with someone, you have to agree about the place you're walking. Not only that, you have to agree about the path you're going to take to get there. We can't walk together unless we not only agree about the destination, but on the right way to get there. And that's why a lot of husbands and wives don't walk together. They can't agree about the way to get there. Enoch knew that God had a path marked out for his life. And Enoch didn't want to turn to the right or to the left. So to really walk with God, you have to agree with him about the path your life is going to take. So you have to agree on the place and the path, but you also have to agree on the pace. You know, the purpose of taking a walk with someone is enjoying their company. Tori and I will often walk together, and we enjoy talking while we walk. I could take a walk, and I might could go a little faster if I walked alone. Maybe she could go faster if she didn't walk with me. I don't know. But the reason we go is for the fellowship. You can't walk with someone if you're constantly getting ahead of them, or if you're constantly falling behind them. And if you're really going to walk with God, you have to do that moment by moment at the pace that he chooses. I want us to notice some things, some characteristics about Enoch's walk. First of all, let's notice the cause of his walk. Verse 22 in Genesis 5 says that Enoch walked with God after, and that's a key word, he begat Methuselah. Now, Enoch was 65 years old when he became a dad. People have been giving me grief for being two and having a newborn baby on the way. I still have a long way to go to catch up to old Enoch, don't I? The text seems to indicate that Enoch was not walking with God before he had a baby, and that having a child was the real turning point in his life that caused him to want to walk with the Lord. How many of you parents would agree that if there is anything that will push you to your knees in prayer, it's having a kid? Yeah. I think I can speak for every man in this room and probably every woman in this room when I say that there are a few moments in life that really force us to grow up. The first moment is when you get married. Amen. I remember the day that I got married and I left my place on the platform after Tori's dad had walked her from the aisle, and I took her hand out of my hand. And maybe for the first time, it really struck me. Now this woman is going to be depending on me like she was depending on him. And it's all on me now. And boy, that'll cause a young man to really grow up. I think the second moment that forces a young person to grow up is, of course, the moment they have their first child. When you look down in your hands and you can hold that little helpless baby in the palm of your hand. And you recognize that now this little child is also looking to you. I remember when I held Will in my hand for the first time and recognized not only did I need to provide for him, but God had given me the assignment to raise him to be the man that God wanted him to be. And I'm going to tell you, that was the day that Tyler the boy died and Tyler the man was born. There was a father who was struggling with alcoholism for many years. And nothing he could do could get him to stop. Not any of the classes, not any of the visits with the doctors. One night he got home from work and he decided he would make his nightly trek to the pub. It was a cold, snowy day. He waited for a few moments and got a little ways down the road when all of a sudden he heard a voice from behind him. "Daddy, slow down. I'm coming with you." It was his little boy. And the dad, a little bit ashamed, said, "Son, I'm sorry. You can't go where I'm going tonight. Besides, how did you find me?" The little boy said, "Dad, it was easy. I just followed your footsteps." And the man began to weep. He scooped up his son, his arm, and he started home. And he said, "If you're following my footsteps, it's time for me to change my direction." And I tell you, if the presence of a baby or child in your home won't change the direction of your life, I don't know what will. Amen. Even if you're not a parent today, don't you realize that your life influences so many other lives? And it's not the best reason, but one of the best reasons to really start walking with God today is knowing that there are other people in this world who are following your footsteps. You're leading them somewhere, so you ought to walk with God. That was a turning point in Enoch's life when he figured out somebody was following him. So he said, "I better start following the Lord." Well, notice not only the cause of his walk, but I noticed secondly, the consistency of his walk. It says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Now, they lived a lot longer at that time than we live now, and I understand that. But 300 years is a long time to walk with God. We're not sure in those days how Enoch walked with God. We don't know if the Holy Spirit came upon him while he took walks with the Lord so he could commune with God. Perhaps God himself came down like he had once done in the Garden of Eden, and Enoch could walk with him, and maybe there was some physical representation of the Lord. I think at the very least it means that Enoch had a vibrant prayer life, two-way communication with God. Whatever Enoch's walk with God really looked like, we read in the Bible that he did it every day for 300 years straight. I would imagine in those 300 years that Enoch had some good days. And I would imagine that in 300 years he probably had some not so good days. I would imagine that in those 300 years there were a lot of just average days, where he went to work and he was busy and he came home and he took care of his wife and his kids. But Enoch walked with God through it all. He did not stop walking with God for three centuries. And you know what? God never stopped walking with Enoch either. Some of you feel like today, "I can't deal with this temptation for another week. This trial that I'm facing is just too much. I'm facing too much pressure from my classmates or the people around me. I just can't walk with God for a day longer." Listen, folks, those aren't reasons to walk away from God. Those are reasons to walk with God even more closely than you have ever walked with him before. Amen. How many of you would agree that it is the things that we consistently do that really change the course of our lives? And how many of you would agree that the things that we really consistently do are the priorities of our lives? Walking with God was the main priority of Enoch's life, and he did it consistently for three centuries. Not only the consistency of his walk, I notice the conditions of his walk. Did you know that Enoch walked at night? That Enoch walked with God when spiritually it was very, very dark in the world. Jude commented on Enoch's story, and listen to what Jude wrote. He said, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, 'Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints.'" And then I want you to notice a word that Jude repeats several times to let us know what the conditions were like in Enoch's day. "The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." What kind of days did Enoch live in? ungodly days. This was the day of the antediluvians. These were the days right before Noah and right before humanity was judged with a flood. Genesis 6 says about that time, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We think things are bad in America in 2026, and certainly they are. But the truth of the matter is that it's really nothing compared to the time in which Enoch lived, in which Enoch walked with God. This ought to do away with the excuse that I've heard so often in my ministry. Pastor Dillard, I can't live for God in this culture. There are too many temptations coming at me. The pressure is too great. Those against us are so much more than those who are for us. Enoch was the only man who walked with God in a wicked day. And if he walked with God in the days before the flood, you and me can walk with God in 2026 in America. Amen. So the conditions of his walk were that the conditions were dark, but he didn't use it as an excuse. He walked with God anyway. Notice the consideration of his walk back in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's what Enoch was known for. He pleased God. And then the writer says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch didn't walk with God because it was convenient, church. He didn't walk with God because it was popular and everybody else around him walked with God. He walked with God for one reason, and that reason was he wanted to please God. You know, that ought to be the goal of every Christian here this morning. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In Colossians 1, Paul prays for the church at Colossae, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Jesus is the example of a man who walked with God and pleased his Father because he said in John 8:29, for I do always those things that please him. The reason Enoch walked with God was that the purpose of his life was to please God. Let me ask you something, Christian. Do you have that purpose? I get the idea from many Christians that I talk to that the purpose of their Christian life is to do just enough so God won't hit them with his big stick. They'd like to do just enough just to stay out of trouble with God. Almost like, God, I won't bother you if you won't bother me. I'll come to church. I'll give a little. I'll serve a little. And I hope that gets you off my back. If that's your view of God, you've got the wrong view of God. If that's your idea of the Christian life, you have the wrong idea of the Christian life. Life isn't about surviving God. Life is about enjoying God. Amen. Life is about pleasing God. Amen. And you know, you really can't walk with God unless you're living in a way that pleases him. That was the consideration of his walk. And then I noticed lastly about his walk, the confidence of his walk. The writer comments on that in verse 6. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The writer of Hebrews has given us a little New Testament commentary on why Enoch walked with God. He walked with God because he had great confidence in two things. Number one, that God is, and number two, that God rewards those who seek him. Now let's think about this for a moment. Walking with God means you have to have the confidence that he is. Now listen, Enoch already knew God existed before he started walking with God. He already knew that. You can't walk with someone if you doubt their existence. What Enoch believed was that God was real, that God was available, that God was around, that God was a personal God that a person could actually walk with and have a relationship with. The people of Enoch's day had forgotten that. They knew there was a creator, but they had stopped walking with the Lord. God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. And we know the story. They sinned and they broke their fellowship with God, and they were cast out of the garden. And all the way, hundreds of years between Adam and Eve to Enoch, you don't read about anybody else who ever walked with God. Enoch lived with a God consciousness. He believed that he could know God. He believed that he could talk to God. He believed that he could hear from God. He believed that God was concerned about the day-to-day activities of his life. God was concerned about the people that he talked with. God was concerned about the way that he worked. God was concerned about the way that he raised his family, and he could walk with God in all of those pursuits. God was real. God was available. God was around. And God wanted to walk with Enoch, and Enoch wanted to walk with God. Let me ask you a question. Do you walk with God? Do you talk to God throughout your day? Are you conscious of his presence wherever you are? Is the only time you have a God thought when we're gathered in church on Sunday? I tell you, I'm glad God's here today, but let me tell you, he wants to leave this place with you and be with you everywhere you go. And he is. The Bible says in Hebrews, he never leaves us or forsakes us. Jesus said before he left to go to heaven, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." You can walk with God this week. You can talk with God. He can be a part of every moment of your week, and he wants to be, if you'll make the choice to walk with him. Well, Enoch not only believed that God was available to walk with him, Enoch also believed, according to the author of Hebrews, that God would reward his walk with him. Now, here in just a second, we're going to learn that Enoch was a preacher. And in about 300 years of preaching, we don't know of anybody outside of his family who was ever converted by his sermons. Enoch was not a popular man in his day. He was most likely a persecuted man in his day. But he continued to walk with God and witness for God, believing that at the end of the day, God would reward him. And God certainly did, because Enoch was one of only two men who ever lived who never died. God rewarded Enoch's faith. So by faith, a man chose to walk with God. The cause of his walk was his newfound sense of responsibility at the birth of his son. His walk was consistent. He walked with God for 300 years. The conditions of his walk with God, well, it was spiritually dark in his culture, a lot like ours. He walked with God when no one else did. The consideration of his walk was that he wanted to please God, and the confidence of his walk is that he believed he could walk with God, and God would walk with him, and that God would reward him for that walk. I'm thankful that many years ago there was one man who made a choice to walk with God, and I wonder today if you're going to make that choice not to walk away from God, not to walk for God, but to really walk with God. Well, the second thing we learned about Enoch is that not only did he walk with God, but in the second place, he witnessed for God. Enoch was not like many in our day who believed that religion should be private and personal only. He believed that if he walked with God in private, that would have ramifications for what he said and how he lived in public. You know, Enoch preached a message to his culture. It was not what the culture around him wanted to hear, but they needed to hear it. And Enoch was faithful to deliver it. Let me read again his message from Jude. This is again what Jude said about the preaching of Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch had a message, and that message is that one day God is going to come with 10,000 of his servants. That was the biggest number in the ancient world. Translation, folks, Enoch was the first prophet in the Bible to predict the end times. He was the first one with the message that God was coming back to earth one day. God gave Enoch the job of telling ungodly people that were saying and doing ungodly things that if something didn't change, a holy God would judge them. Now that's a hard message to hear. It's a hard message to preach. But the people in Enoch's culture absolutely needed somebody to care enough about them to preach that message, and he was faithful to do it. Now, we don't have a record of any of the sermons that he preached or even how he delivered his prophetic word. But there is a hint of Enoch's message in the name that he gave his son, Methuselah. Now, most of us don't know anything about Methuselah except that he's a helpful person to know for Bible trivia night, right? Because Methuselah was the oldest man who ever lived, 969 years. But did you know that there was actually a prophetic message in his name? According to Henry Morris and several other Hebrew scholars, the name Methuselah means, when he dies, it shall be sent. God said, when he dies, judgment will come. Now, I want us to put on our thinking caps for a little moment, and let's do a little math here at this point in the book of Genesis. I don't like math, and many of you don't, but we're going to have to do it, all right? Now, the Bible says that when Methuselah was born, he was born 687 years after Adam and Eve. So 687 years after creation. If we add 969 years to that total, that's the length of his life. The total, the time that he died, was 1,656 years after creation. When you study the genealogies in Genesis, you'll learn that Noah was born in the year 1,056. And the Bible is very clear that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. The flood came 1,656 years after creation, the same year that Methuselah died, exactly when God said judgment was going to come. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine then the responsibility that Enoch felt when he held that little baby in his arms? Not only as a parent, but the responsibility as a prophet. He knew that the lifespan of his little boy would be humanity's last chance to get right with God and turn back. I think that gave a lot of urgency to Enoch's message because he didn't know how long his boy was going to live, and he had to do everything he could to get the message of God's judgment and grace to people while his son was still alive. So I think while little Methuselah demonstrates the judgment and holiness of God, he also demonstrates the grace of God, doesn't he? Because God says when that boy dies, judgment's going to come. And guess who lived longer than any other human being that ever lived? Methuselah. It's almost as if God was saying, I want all of you to know that I'm a God of patience. And I'm a God of grace. And I want to be as patient and gracious with you as I possibly can. Methuselah's life was a period of grace before the judgment of the flood came. Listen to me, church. We are living in similar days. We are living in a period of grace before judgment comes. The Bible says that you and I are living in the last days. The last days mark the time from the resurrection of Christ until the return of Christ, which Enoch prophesied about. Like Enoch, we have been charged with the message of judgment and grace. And I tell you today that Jesus could return at any moment. His church could be caught up and raptured at any moment. And when Christ returns to rapture his church, if you have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, you'll never have another chance to be saved. You will go through the terror of the tribulation. You will be separated from God in life, and you will be separated from God in death in a real place called hell, and then ultimately in the lake of fire. Now, here in just a moment, I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And that means that every person under the sound of my voice is responsible for that message. And that means that if you delay your salvation or you put off your salvation and you don't trust in Christ and Christ returns in the rapture, it will be eternally too late for you, just like it was the people who lived in the days of Noah. But listen, this is not just a message of judgment today. It's a message of grace. Because Jesus has tarried his coming. He has tarried his judgment on this world for one more day so that someone like you can trust Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Church, do you understand this morning that this is our message? That we live in a world that is under the judgment of God? That our message to this world is an urgent message, one of eternal significance. How could we who know the joy of walking with God not tell the people around us how they can walk with God? You remember what Jesus told his disciples? He said, "Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men." They didn't get a choice. To walk with God was to witness for God. To follow Christ was to fish for men. And I take that to mean that if we're not witnessing for God, no matter what we say, we're not really walking with God. And that if we're walking with God, we will witness for God, just like Enoch did. So number one, he walked with God. Number two, Enoch witnessed for God. And I like this last part. Enoch's story has a really happy ending. Enoch went to be with God. The writer says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him." The Genesis account is so simple. It says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. This story in Genesis is really tucked inside a genealogy. And when you read through the story, it sounds a lot like this. You read, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." And then you read, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." And you read it over and over again, "And he died, and he died." So by virtue of repetition, when you get to Enoch's story, you expect to read, "And Enoch walked with God and he died." But that's not what it says, is it, church? Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I like what one writer said. He said, "Enoch had no burial plot or headstone. He went from walking with God on earth to walking with God in heaven." And it happened in a moment. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "Enoch had been walking with God for so many years that his transfer to heaven was not even an interruption." That's my goal in life, to get as close to God as I can so that when it's time to go to heaven, it won't be an interruption, because walking with God was what I really lived for in the first place. It's what meant the most to me. The author of Hebrews says, and I thought this was fascinating, that Enoch was not found. You know, that indicates, doesn't it, that somebody was looking for him. I don't know how it went. Maybe it went like this. Enoch finished his work and he said to his wife, "Sweetheart, I'm going to go out on a walk with God." And he went out on his walk and an hour took place and he still hadn't come home. 2 hours took place and he still hadn't come home. And that wasn't all that unusual for Mrs. Enoch, because Enoch used to take long walks with God. Maybe after 3 or 4 hours went by, she thought to herself, "Where is he? Did some animal get him? Did some thief murder him?" And at some point, there was a search party. And a bunch of the people who knew Enoch went out and found him. And the Bible says, or went out and looked for him, excuse me, but they didn't find him, because it says very simply, he was not. He never turned up. They never found his body. On a day when nobody expected it, all of a sudden, Enoch was poof. He was gone. That reminds me of another event. I believe that Enoch prefigures the rapture of the church. Think about it. Before a cataclysmic worldwide judgment was unleashed, a man of faith vanished as a testimony to an unbelieving world that God rewards, not judges, those who walk with him. You know, one day that same thing is going to happen. Society is going to get worse and worse. And God is going to unleash judgment on this world. But before he does, his people are going to vanish. Yeah. Enoch was the first to vanish. He will not be the last to vanish. Listen to what Paul said. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, soon and very soon, Jesus is coming again. And just like Enoch, the people who have trusted in Christ and walked with God will vanish. They'll be caught up together in the clouds. And while judgment reigns on earth, grace will reign in heaven for all those who walked with God by faith. Now, there are two words of application from Enoch's life this morning. Number one, make sure you're on the right road. Everybody's walking somewhere. Everybody's going to end up somewhere. Most of Enoch's culture walked away from God. They were on the wrong road, and that road led them to judgment. At a critical moment in his life, Enoch decided he was going to get on the right road, that he was going to walk with God. And today, you can make that same choice in your personal life by trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everybody's walk with God starts somewhere. My walk with God started as a six-year-old boy in a pastor's office, where he explained in a childlike way how I might put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the moment my walk with the Lord really started. And I haven't been perfect in my walk with him, but he's been perfect in his walk with me. And that day was the best day of my life, because that day was the first step I took in a lifetime of walking with the Lord. And if you've never made that decision, you've never trusted Christ, you never started that walk, right now, in these holy moments, you can do that. The second word of application is simple. No matter how old you are or where you are in life, you can make the choice to walk with God. Isn't it true that Enoch was older than most of the people in this room when he really decided, I'm not just going to believe God is out there somewhere. I'm going to walk with him and get to know him and let him be my companion in life. It is never too early to walk with God, and it is never too late to begin walking with God. Right. And I want you Christians to really think about it today. Am I walking with God? And if I'm not, why not? G. Campbell Morgan told a wonderful story about Enoch. It was a story about a little girl who had come home from Sunday school, and her parents, of course, asked her what we all ask our kids. What'd you learn in Sunday school today? And you can get some interesting answers when you ask that question. The little girl said, I heard a wonderful story about a man who used to go on walks with God. The child's mother said to her, well, that's a wonderful story. How did the story end? The little girl said, well, one day they walked on and on and on. And they got so far away that God said to Enoch, you're a long way from home now, Enoch. I think you're closer to my house than you are to yours. So you might as well come home with me. And mommy Enoch went home with God. You know, for every Christian we have ever known who trusted Christ and who walked with God, that's exactly how it's been. God looks down on them one day and says, you know, you've walked with me for all these years. Don't you think it's time to come home to my house? And he takes them home. It's going to be that way for all of us one day. We We walk with God through good times and bad times. We walk with God when we're healthy, and we walk with God when we're sick. And he always sticks so closely to our side. He never leaves us. But one day when we've walked with God for as long as he's mapped out for us to walk, he's going to come down and say to us, your final journey is to my house. So don't worry. I'm going to walk with you. Some of you have lost loved ones in the past year, and you're still so full of sorrow and grief. And I understand that. I hope that the story of Enoch will encourage you today. It is our highest privilege to get that call from God to go home and to dwell with him. Did you know the Bible says that right now God is preparing a place for you to dwell with him for eternity? And I don't think it's going to be that long, either through the rapture or eternally speaking through death, when God will come to us and say, let's go home, child. And we'll walk with him to heaven, and we'll be reunited with our loved ones, and we will never have to say goodbye again. Enoch's story has a happy ending, and if you know Jesus, your story has a happy ending too. And who knows? This may well be the Enoch generation. This may well be the generation that vanishes. So let's walk with God, and let's witness for God until he comes and we get to go be with God. Let's pray together. Father, Enoch's story has been so encouraging to me as I've studied it. It's honestly been so challenging to me. There are a lot of very good things that if I'm not careful, I let crowd you out. I get so busy doing things for you that I forget that the purpose of life is to walk with you. My guess is there are a lot of Christians who are like that today. When they look back on their life, it's really been a long time since they really walked with you. Lord, if there is someone here today who has never chosen to begin their journey of faith with you, I pray that right now in these moments that they will. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me tell you today that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven, and Jesus is that way. He came into this world to die on the cross for your sins, and he rose again. And it is only by beginning a relationship with him and trusting him as Lord and Savior that any of us will be able to go to heaven. A moment ago, I told you that when I was a 6-year-old boy, I trusted Christ. And at that moment, I began my walk with God. That was the first step. Can you go back to a time and place in your life where you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you began your walk with the Savior? If you cannot, or you're not sure about it today, that's the decision you need to make before it's eternally too late. How many of you would say, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, I'm not sure I've ever begun a relationship with God by putting saving faith in Jesus Christ. I can't go back to that time and place in my life, but I'd like to. And if that's the first step of walking with God for a lifetime and walking with God to heaven, that's the step I want to take today. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand with mine? I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. I simply want to pray for you. Just like in the days of Enoch, eternity is on the line. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. And if you're going to make this choice, you need to make it today. Only you can make it. Pastor, today I want to begin a walk with God. I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you please pray for me? Just a moment. Lift up your hand and put it down. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else today? God bless you. That's wonderful. If you raise your hand, and only if you raise your hand, just look up at me. Just look up at me. I want to make eye contact with you for a moment. Wonderful. Here in just a moment, we're going to have what's called an invitation. Everyone's going to stand and we'll keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And we want to invite you to leave your seat and come just a few steps to the front here. At the front, there are loving workers who will, in a private way, take God's word and show you from the Bible itself how you can know Christ is your Lord and Savior. Everybody needs to hear that from God's word, and you do too. And then we're going to give you the opportunity to pray and trust Christ as Lord and Savior. You won't be asked to join the church today. You won't be asked to give an offering. All we want to do is show you from the Bible how you can trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here in a moment when we stand, and as soon as the instruments begin to play, I want you to step out from your seat and come to the front, and we will meet you here and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Thank you so much. You may lower your head. How many of you Christians would say one of these two phrases describes my Christian life? Either I'm walking away from God, or I'm walking for God, but not really walking with Him. And how many of you Christians would say, that's going to change today? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? God bless you. Hands raised all over the room. I love working for God, but there is nothing as wonderful as walking with Him. And I pray you might know how wonderful that is. And here in a moment, we're going to stand, and I want to ask you Christians to lead the way to the altar and make the decisions that you need to make today. Father, thank you for speaking to us. We pray for those who raise their hands because today they're going to begin their walk with God. Today, you're asking them just to take a step, to leave their seat and come. It'll be the greatest step of their life and the greatest day of their life. And I pray today they'll be saved. For all of your people, help nothing replace or crowd out our walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.